Today is Thursday, March 19th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Jason Patinkin in Washington. Coming up, governments around the world are told to strengthen their preventative measures.
The World Health Organization warns many countries are facing the escalating pandemic of COVID-19 and that all should be prepared to tackle this deadly virus.
Plus, the reality of developing a new vaccine.
Unfortunately, we really do have to be clear that we don't have scientific evidence for an effective treatment at this time.
And the United States has a harsh message for the International Criminal Court. Those stories and more are next. Our top story today, the Chinese city at the center of the coronavirus pandemic has for the first time reported no new daily cases. This comes as the total number of COVID-19 cases worldwide surpassed 220,000. Thus far, the coronavirus pandemic has resulted in about 9,000 deaths. More than 85,000 people who contracted COVID-19 have recovered. The World Health Organization warns many countries are facing the escalating pandemic of COVID-19 and that all should be prepared to tackle this deadly virus before it arrives within their borders. Lisa Schlein has more.
More than 80% of these cases and deaths are occurring in two regions, namely Europe and the Western Pacific, which includes China. But the World Health Organization warns the coronavirus epidemic is rapidly accelerating in all regions of the world. WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus calls the virus an unprecedented threat and says no country, community, or person is immune from this deadly disease.
Don't assume your community won't be affected. Prepare as if it will be. Don't assume you won't be infected. Prepare as if you will be. But there is hope. There are many things that all countries can do.
Tedros cites several measures countries can take to slow the transmission of the virus and protect their people. These include maintaining a physical distance, canceling sporting events, concerts, and other large gatherings. These actions and others, he says, can help to make epidemics manageable.
But to suppress and control the epidemics, countries must isolate, test, treat, and trace. If they don't, transmission chains can continue at a low level, then resurge once physical distancing measures are lifted.
Tedros says this formula must be the backbone of every country's response to the epidemic. He says South Korea, which used this strategy, has succeeded in reducing the number of infections from more than 800 cases at the peak of the outbreak to just 90 cases now. He says the coronavirus epidemic will not disappear in the foreseeable future, but that using a comprehensive approach can slow the virus's spread. This, he says, will save lives and buy time for the development of vaccines and treatments. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
So, what can you do to stay safe from the COVID-19 coronavirus? I spoke with epidemiologist Dr. Elizabeth Radin from Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health in New York, and she explains the latest on potential medical cures, folk remedies, and vaccines.
As of last week, there were already hundreds of documented clinical trials in progress to really rigorously test out the effectiveness of potential treatments. Some of these are actually drugs that we know about already. One is called remdesivir. It's shown some promise in limiting the virus in animals, and it's currently in clinical trials with people now. There's trials of a drug called lopinavir-ritonavir, which is used for treating HIV and even broad spectrum antivirals. So that includes chloroquine, which is a drug that has been used to prevent or treat malaria that's in clinical trials. They're still at really pretty early stages of trials to see that they are in fact effective in humans. And those will need to go through a few rounds of study. I think those are being expedited as much as possible, but there's a rigorous process, as there should be, for actually generating the level of scientific evidence that allows us to say yes, we know this drug to be effective. There is certainly a lot of activity around treatments, and I think some optimism, though no guarantees, that a treatment could become available later this year.
There are some other ideas that have come up to treat the disease. These include gargling salt water. I've also seen that if you drink a lot of water, the idea is that it will wash the disease down your throat and into your stomach, and your stomach can kill the disease there. I've also seen reports of rubbing honey or olive oil on one's chest. Another one is this idea that drinking cow urine can actually help you against the disease.
So there's no evidence that those approaches are effective. Unfortunately, we really do have to be clear that we don't have scientific evidence for an effective treatment at this time, be it a medicine, a pill, something herbal, a series of household procedures. We don't have evidence of a treatment at this time. I think something like drinking water might not be bad for you in general, but there's no evidence that it's effective for treating this disease. Anytime that there's a proposal to do something that might otherwise not be good for you, like drinking cow urine or anything like that, it's even more important to understand that there's really no evidence that that will treat or prevent you from getting this disease.
But what about a vaccine? Is there any progress towards a vaccine that could help people prevent getting the disease?
In the last few days, we've had the National Institutes of Health in the United States started clinical trials for a vaccine. The really remarkable thing about that is that that's basically 2 months from when the genetic sequence of the virus was published until the start of the clinical trial. By comparison, that took about 20 months with the SARS outbreak back in 2002, 2003. So that is good news, and it is a record pace for vaccine development. It is still important to understand that that vaccine being fully tested and publicly available is still on a 12 to 18 month timeline.
So that could be something to potentially look forward to. But in the meantime, it's all about sticking with those guidelines of washing hands, social distancing, staying away from people who might have symptoms, avoid touching your face.
That's absolutely right. Those are our best prevention strategies, and letting others know if you feel sick and isolating yourself.
Dr. Elizabeth Radin is with Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health in New York. The U.S. State Department said the United States is suspending all routine visa services in most countries worldwide due to the coronavirus outbreak, a move that will potentially impact hundreds of thousands of people. The department did not say which or how many embassies are halting services. However, U.S. missions in more than half a dozen countries, including South Korea, South Africa, Germany, and Spain, have announced that they were either stopping or significantly reducing services. The medical charity Doctors Without Borders, also known as MSF, has raised the alarm over the potential spread of COVID-19 in refugee camps on Greek islands. The group says the camps need urgent evacuation to reduce overcrowding. Dr. Hilda Vogtin, who is the group's medical coordinator in Greece, described a dire health situation in the camps to VOA's Kate Pound Dawson.
There are areas in the camp where there is just one toilet for 170 people, one shower for 240 people. These are very, very bad hygiene conditions. So with the COVID, everyone in the world is recommending hand washing and go in isolation if you feel sick. How can people in such big camps, where people are living with two families on a few square meters, how can they isolate them? How can they go and wash their hands? Even if they would go to the hospital and they are a suspected case, imagine they will go, they will get these recommendations, but they cannot wash their hands and they cannot isolate themselves. It will spread very, very fast.
MSF says there are about 42,000 asylum seekers trapped in five locations on the Greek islands. They include many Syrians and people from the wider Middle East and Afghanistan, as well as many Africans. Greece has so far registered 5 deaths and has confirmed nearly 400 cases of COVID-19, including one on the island of Lesbos, which houses the Moria camp. Moria was built to accommodate less than 3,000 people, but houses about 19,400 in the camp and its environs, living in crowded and filthy conditions. Dr. Vogtin said if the disease reaches the camp, the island's medical system will not be able to cope, even as local officials and MSF prepare themselves for an outbreak.
We do have collaboration with the local health authorities, with the hospital. They have a kind of plan, but it will be not sufficient if there is really an outbreak in the Moria camp itself to deal with the influx of patients. So the measures are not enough.
Despite MSF's call for Greek authorities to open the camps and place people in better housing, Greece on Wednesday instead imposed restrictions on the migrants to prevent the spread of the COVID-19 virus. The Greek Migration Ministry said over the next 30 days, people living in camps will only be allowed to temporarily exit the facilities in small groups every hour between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. to look for food, and only one person from each family will be allowed to leave the camps at a time. The U.S. military said it will deploy two U.S. hospital ships to free up medical professionals and beds needed for coronavirus patients. International Edition's Steve Miller spoke with VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb to get the details.
The U.S. military is planning to deploy its two hospital ships to free up medical professionals and beds needed for coronavirus patients. And this is going to take a little bit of time. So the USNS Mercy is in port in San Diego, and defense officials say that that will go much sooner than the other because that one is pretty much ready to deploy. It just needs to be manned. It's going to go somewhere yet to be determined on the West Coast in days, not weeks, officials are saying. The USNS Comfort already has a location where it's going. It is going to be going to New York Harbor in the coming weeks. And I'm saying weeks because it's actually in Norfolk, undergoing maintenance right now. So in addition to getting manned, it's also going to need to finish its maintenance before it's available in New York. And that is a big deal for New York State. Governor Andrew Cuomo has been asking for help from the military. The state of New York has more than 2,000 confirmed cases of the virus, and they're saying that about 25% of those cases are getting hospitalized. So they need hospital beds bad. Here's the thing about these ships, though. Keep in mind, these ships are not going to be housing coronavirus patients. These ships don't really have the capacity for infectious diseases. They don't have the spaces that are segregated that you need to close off the disease. So what these hospital ships are going to be doing is they're going to be taking the pressure off the civilian hospitals and covering trauma cases and opening up the civilian hospital rooms for the coronavirus disease cases.
Given that the coronavirus outbreak is expected to last weeks, perhaps longer, is there any indication about how long these ships are going to be in their respective locations, wherever they may be?
It's not clear at this point, but by the fact that it's going to take days to weeks to gear up, expect them to be there weeks as well, as long as they're needed to help these high need areas. And let's not forget, these hospital ships are not the only thing that the U.S. military is doing at this time. The Air Force has been flying, flew this week to Memphis, hundreds of thousands of coronavirus testing supplies to high need areas. The Pentagon has also activated some members of the National Guard, more than 1,500 of those in 22 states, to provide everything from delivering meals, things that normally get done but cannot get done due to coronavirus, to going in and cleaning or disinfecting areas to help out with that. So there's a lot going on. And then Secretary of Defense Mark Esper also said that there were going to be masks and ventilators from the Department of Defense reserves to go to the Department of Health and Human Services. They said that they were going to provide more than 5 million masks available. The first 1 million of those are already ready to go and can go immediately, and then about 2,000 ventilators. It's not really clear at this point where they're going to go. The Department of Health and Human Services is going to take them and then decide where they're needed most.
That was VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb speaking to my colleague Steve Miller. And coming up later,
Iraqi President Barham Saleh's choice of former Najaf governor Adnan Zurfi to form a new government is meeting opposition from the country's divided Shiite political camp, along with the country's main power brokers, Iran. Zurfi, who has 30 days to put together a cabinet, is facing what some analysts see as insurmountable odds.
You're listening to VOA News.
I'm Amanda Bennett, and I'm director of Voice of America. I'm recording this from home because here at Voice of America, almost all of us are now working remotely in order to help slow the spread of the coronavirus that I know has been affecting so many of you and your families. I just wanted to let you know that while the health and safety of our employees is really our primary concern, we also are aware that during this troubling time, you are increasingly turning to us for the factual, unbiased information that you need to make decisions about your lives. So we are working as hard as we can to keep up as much of our programming as we can during this time. You may notice some changes in the shows that you've been used to watching, and some of them may have to go off the air. If that happens, we will keep you informed as to where you can find the content that you're used to seeing. So I'd like to wish you all good luck and good health, and thank you very much. We'll hopefully be here for you. Thank you.
VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Jason Patinkin. Global stock markets were mixed Thursday as investors continued to deal with the economic uncertainty of the coronavirus outbreak. Japan's Nikkei index opened in positive territory but slipped as the day went on. Both the Nikkei and China's Shanghai index closed down 1%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng index fell 2%. Markets in Britain, France, and Germany fell in later trading after rising at the start of the day on news the European Central Bank launched an $800 billion stimulus package. Most U.S. stock indices were down about 1% shortly after the market opened Thursday. On Wednesday, Wall Street extended its deep sell-off, and the Dow Industrial Average nearly erased the gains it made under U.S. President Donald Trump. Reuters' Fred Katayama has that story.
A dramatic drawdown on Wall Street. Stocks got slammed Wednesday over fears about the coronavirus. What's more, investors also sold off safe haven assets such as long-term treasuries and gold. The S&P 500 plunged 5%, and the Dow lost more than 1,300 points, nearly erasing the so-called Trump bump of gains in the blue chip index since Donald Trump took office as president in 2017. The rebound sparked by the Trump administration's dramatic stimulus plan Tuesday proved short-lived as investors factored in a global recession or possibly something worse stemming from the coronavirus outbreak. Hendai Kapfizi is chief economist at LendingTree.
The trillion-dollar package is a good thing, I think, in terms of near-term stimulus to the economy. But in the long run, you know, that just is increasing the deficit, increasing the amount of borrowing that's going to happen from the U.S. Treasury and from governments around the world. So that's driving up the cost of debt. And I think it means that, you know, all kinds of assets right now are in a way on sale, or people are rushing out of them into cash.
Airlines took the biggest hit. Carriers asked staff to take unpaid leave. Shares of hotel operators Hilton, Marriott, and Hyatt also sank. Boeing shares plummeted yet again. The plane maker has asked for a $60 billion aid package for the U.S. aerospace manufacturing industry. Among the few gainers, supermarket stocks. Credit Suisse said Walmart would benefit from the move by consumers to stay at home and order groceries online amid the coronavirus crisis. Kroger shares also shot higher. After the close, the Intercontinental Exchange said it'll temporarily close the New York Stock Exchange's equities trading floor on Monday and move to all electronic trading.
Amnesty International USA's advocacy director Daniel Balson called U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's latest comments about the International Criminal Court a new low. In a statement, Balson said, quote, "Instead of pursuing the torturers, the U.S. is condemning the investigators and even their families. No one should be exempt from accountability," end quote. In early March, Pompeo condemns the decision by the International Criminal Court to allow prosecutors to investigate whether war crimes were committed in Afghanistan by the Taliban, Afghan military, and U.S. forces. His comments came after an appeals panel said on March 5th that the truth-seeking inquiry should go ahead. On Wednesday, Pompeo added,
"The ICC is an embarrassment. It's exposing and confronting its abuses. And this is a true example of American leadership to ensure that multilateral institutions actually perform the missions for which they were designed."
Balson said, quote, "To refer to the International Criminal Court, a body which for years has worked on addressing the most heinous of crimes, including genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity, as an embarrassment is the real embarrassment. Lack of political will to investigate crimes and prosecute those responsible has impeded the ICC's vital work, and Secretary Pompeo's remarks have only exacerbated this, end quote. Pompeo said if crimes were committed, guilty parties would be brought to justice.
We oppose any effort by the ICC to exercise jurisdiction over U.S. personnel. We will not tolerate its inappropriate and unjust attempts to investigate or prosecute Americans. When our personnel are accused of a crime, they face justice in our country.
The U.S. government has never been a member of the court, which was established in 2002. The ICC was set up to prosecute war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity. U.S. President Donald Trump's administration imposed travel restrictions and other sanctions against ICC employees a year ago. School closures caused by the coronavirus pandemic mean many parents are trying to come up with ways to educate and entertain their children at home. While there are many online options, some parents worry about too much screen time. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has the details on a couple of applications that combine the physical and the digital so students learning at home get the best of both worlds.
For parents who are worried about too much screen time when their children are home, they are not alone.
If you're wasting your time on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, that's the bad kind of screen time that we want to eliminate.
That's David Drobic, co-founder of Vivid Books, an app that uses augmented reality to bring specially designed textbook pages to life on difficult physics concepts.
If you look at any traditional textbook that kids use today or that they used to use over the last 40 years, you see some small diagrams and plenty of text around them.
Some concepts are easier to understand in action. Through a desktop or mobile device, Vivid Books pages can be printed out. Then through the app, holding the mobile device over the page will animate the illustration on the page. The app is currently only available for Apple mobile devices. Web and Android versions are expected in June. During the pandemic, parents can access textbook pages for free. The target age, children who are 10 to 12 years old. The company plans to add chemistry and biology content and expand material for more ages. Another app that combines the real world with the digital is Doodlematic by Tink Digital. Its founder, Martin Horstman, says Doodlematic allows users to actively engage with the app.
Technology is great. It's all around us, and there's so many fantastic things out there, but a lot of the way maybe kids use it is passive.
Instead of playing video games and consuming other people's ideas, children can design their own video games, first on paper with specific colors that tell the program whether something is an avatar, a goal, or a hazard. Then they can take a picture of the drawing from a mobile device through the app, and it becomes a video game.
We believe strongly that creativity and imagination is such an important skill for every career path that you might end up taking.
Kids can design two animated games for free, then pay just under $30 to create 1,000 more. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Los Angeles.
That's going to do it for us today. You have been listening to International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours a day at voanews.com. Until next time, I'm Jason Patinkin in Washington. Have a great evening.
Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.